This article is brought to you by the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. How to build emotional control habits before conflict situations arise. The daily practices that keep you steady when conversations turn difficult. In short, emotional control habits are not a personality trait, they are a trained capacity, built through deliberate daily practice long before any difficult conversation begins. Conflict does not create your emotional reactions. It reveals the habits you already have, or the ones you lack. The window to build genuine self-regulation is in ordinary moments, not crisis ones. A clear, repeatable process can make calm and clear-headed responses your default, not your exception. Definition: emotional control habits are practiced, repeatable behaviors that strengthen your capacity to manage your internal state under pressure. Built before conflict arises, they create the self-regulation skills that allow you to respond thoughtfully rather than react automatically when tension escalates. There's a particular kind of regret that comes from saying the wrong thing in the wrong tone at the wrong moment. I know it well. Years ago, I sat in a room with a colleague whose decision I believed was genuinely damaging to our team. I had prepared my arguments. What I had not prepared was myself. Within 2 minutes, my voice had sharpened, my body had stiffened, and the conversation had become about my reaction rather than the real issue. The decision stood, the relationship frayed, and the whole thing could have gone differently if I had spent half the time preparing my emotional state that I spent preparing my position. Building emotional control habits before conflict situations arise is the work most people skip. Not because they are lazy, but because it does not feel urgent until it is too late. This article gives you a working process, tested across decades, for developing the internal steadiness that makes genuine conflict resolution possible. Not calm as a performance, but calm as a practiced state you can actually access when the pressure comes. Why staying regulated under pressure is harder than anyone admits. The difficulty is not weakness. It is biology. When interpersonal conflict begins, your nervous system does not distinguish between a difficult colleague and a physical threat. Stress hormones release, your thinking narrows, your speech accelerates, and the subtle social cues you normally read with ease become invisible. Understanding this is explored in detail in the article on what the amygdala hijack is and how it silently blocks team synergy in high-pressure moments. The pattern is consistent and well-documented in human behavior. The cruel irony is timing. You need self-regulation most at the exact moment your biology is working hardest against it. Trying to build capacity in the middle of a conflict is like trying to learn to swim while drowning. It does not work. The window is before, in the ordinary moments no one photographs or praises. What makes this genuinely hard is that most people only notice their emotional patterns after the damage is done. You see the sharpness in your tone in hindsight. You recognize the shutdown in your posture once the room has gone quiet. The habits that serve you in conflict must be practiced when you're calm, so they are accessible when you're not. What do you need to know about yourself before you begin? Before any practice system will work, you need honest self-knowledge about two things: your triggers and your physical warning signs. Your triggers are the specific conditions that activate a strong emotional response in conflict. Not conflict in general, but your particular sensitivities. Being dismissed, being interrupted, having your competence questioned, feeling blindsided by information you should have had. Most people carry 3 or 4 specific triggers that predictably derail them. Until you name them, they will continue to operate without your awareness. Your physical warning signs are the body signals that arrive before your behavior changes. A tightening across the chest, a heat in the face, a clenching in the jaw or hands. These signals precede the reactive word or the defensive posture by several seconds. That gap is where your emotional control habits lie. Emotional intelligence in feedback conversations covers how awareness of your own state shapes the quality of difficult exchanges. And the same principle applies before any conflict begins. Without knowing both, you're working blind. Take a week to simply notice. After any moment of friction, write down what triggered you and what your body did first. That information is the foundation everything else builds on. The 6-step process for building emotional control habits. This is a sequence. Each step prepares the ground for the one that follows. Do not skip to step 4 because it sounds interesting. 1. Name your 3 most consistent triggers with precision. Vague awareness is not enough. I get defensive when criticized as too broad to work with. I lose my composure when someone questions a decision I have already thought through carefully is specific enough to prepare for. Write your three most consistent triggers as single, clear sentences. This is not an exercise in self-blame. It is intelligence gathering. The more precisely you can name the condition, the more specifically you can prepare for it. 2. Learn your body's early warning sequence. Your nervous system sends signals in a reliable order. Identify yours. For many people, it goes tension in a specific muscle group, a change in breathing, a mental narrowing. Practice noticing the sequence in low-stakes moments of mild frustration, not in full conflict. When you can catch your body at step one in the sequence, you have time to choose your response. When you only notice at step three, you're usually already reacting. 3. Build a physical reset you can use in under 60 seconds. You need a physiological tool that interrupts the stress response quickly and quietly. The most reliable one I have used for decades, slow your exhale. Breathe in for 4 counts, out for 6. 3 cycles. It works because the extended exhale activates the part of your nervous system responsible for calm. This is not meditation, and it does not require a private room. You can use it in a corridor, before entering a difficult conversation, in the 30 seconds before a hard meeting begins, or in the pause after someone says something that lands hard. Practice it daily in calm conditions until the sequence is automatic. 4. Rehearse your most likely conflict scenarios out loud. Most people rehearse arguments in their heads, replaying what they should have said. That is not the same thing. The preparation that actually builds emotional control habits is rehearsing your responses aloud, including the tone, the pacing, and the physical composure. If you know that a specific colleague tends to dismiss your contributions in meetings, practice how you will respond. I want to finish that thought in a clear, even voice, not sharp, not apologetic, just clear. Saying it aloud a dozen times in ordinary moments means it is available in the difficult one. How to use the courage method to deliver feedback you've been avoiding uses a similar rehearsal principle for feedback conversations, and the mechanics transfer directly to conflict preparation. 5. Establish a pre-conflict grounding routine for high-stakes conversations. When you know a difficult conversation is coming, treat it the same way an athlete treats a competition preparer state, not just your content. In the 15 minutes before, step outside if you can. Move your body briefly. Review your three triggers and remind yourself which ones are most likely to appear. Run 2 or 3 cycles of your breathing reset. Say one grounding phrase quietly to yourself, something that anchors your intention. I am here to understand first. I can be direct and stay respectful. Keep it short and honest. This is not a ritual for its own sake. It is a practical state management system that shifts you from anxious preparation to grounded readiness. 6. Debrief after every difficult interaction. This is the step most people skip, and it is where the real learning compounds. Within an hour of any conflict or high-tension conversation, write 3 sentences. What triggered you? What did your body do? What would you do differently? You are not writing to punish yourself. You are building the pattern recognition that makes your emotional responses more predictable to yourself over time. Over weeks, this debrief practice turns isolated incidents into a working map of your own emotional landscape. The role of emotional intelligence in team synergy is built precisely on this kind of self-awareness, and individual reflection is where that intelligence develops. Adapting this process for remote and hybrid work settings. The 6 steps above apply regardless of context, but remote work creates specific challenges for emotional control that are worth addressing directly on a video call. You have fewer environmental cues to signal that a conversation is escalating. You cannot read the full posture of the room. Latency delays can make interruptions feel more abrupt than they are. The temptation to fire off a message in a moment of frustration is immediate, with no physical distance to interrupt the impulse. 3 adaptations help. First, keep your camera on during difficult conversations. Not for the other person's benefit, but for yours. Seeing your own face creates a subtle accountability that slows reactive responses. 2, before any high-stakes remote conversation, add 5 minutes of your physical reset to your preparation routine. The absence of a commute or a walk between meetings means your nervous system does not get the transition time it needs otherwise. 3, build a personal rule: never send a written response in conflict at the speed of your first impulse. Type it if you must, then wait 10 minutes before sending. This is a structural delay that does what the physical reset does in spoken conflict. How to de-escalate team conflict without destroying synergy addresses what happens when regulation has already partially broken down, which is where remote teams often arrive faster than they realise. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Where people go wrong when they try to regulate their emotions in conflict. These are the three mistakes I see most often. I have made most of them myself at some point. The mistake: trying to control emotions by suppressing them. Why it happens. Suppression feels like discipline. It looks composed from the outside, at least briefly. What to do instead? Acknowledge the emotion internally before you respond externally. I'm feeling defensive right now is not a weakness. It is the awareness that allows you to choose your next word. Suppression stores pressure. Acknowledgement releases it. The mistake: practicing self-regulation only when things go wrong. Why it happens. It is hard to see the urgency when there is no immediate fire. What to do instead? Build the breathing reset and the daily debrief into ordinary days. Calm moments are where habits are formed. Conflict moments are only where habits are tested. The mistake: treating preparation as purely intellectual, focusing on what to say rather than on your internal state. Why it happens. Content preparation is tangible and feels productive. State preparation feels abstract. What to do instead? Spend at least half your preparation time on your emotional readiness. Run the breathing sequence. Revisit your triggers. Say your grounding phrase. How to use the core framework to stay calm when feedback triggers a defensive reaction is built on this exact principle. The right process for managing your state matters as much as your choice of words. What is psychological safety and how it drives team synergy reinforces why regulated individuals are the building blocks of psychologically safe teams, which underscores that this is never purely a personal concern. Your pre-conflict readiness check. Use this before any conversation you know carries the potential for friction. It takes less than 2 minutes. Number 1. Triggers. Which of my known triggers is most likely to appear in this conversation? Have I named it clearly? Number 2. Body scan. Am I already holding tension somewhere? Jaw, shoulders, chest. Take 3 slow exhale extended breaths now. Number 3. State. Am I entering this conversation ready to listen or ready to win? If the latter, pause and reset. Number 4. Intention. What is the one thing I want this conversation to accomplish? Say it in one sentence. Number 5. Grounding phrase. What is my anchor statement for this conversation? Repeat it once, aloud or silently. Number 6. Debrief reminder. Have I set aside 5 minutes after this conversation to note what happened internally? This is not bureaucracy. It is the difference between walking into a difficult conversation carrying unexamined pressure and walking in with your feet on the ground. The habit is the practice, not the performance. Here is the truth of it. Emotional control habits are not built in the moments when you most need them. They are built in hundreds of ordinary moments that come before. The breathing reset you do before a dull Tuesday meeting. The debrief you write after a mildly frustrating phone call. The trigger you name on a quiet evening when nothing is at stake. These small, consistent acts of practice are what make you genuinely different in the conversation that matters. Not calmer by effort of will, but calmer because your nervous system has learned what steady feels like and can find its way back there. Building emotional control habits is how you earn the right to be someone people can trust in the hardest conversations. Not by being unaffected, but by being prepared. Frequently asked questions. What are emotional control habits in conflict resolution? Emotional control habits are regular, practiced behaviors that strengthen your ability to stay calm under pressure. They include physical grounding techniques, trigger awareness, and internal dialogue work. Built before conflict arises, they become automatic responses that prevent reactive escalation when tension is high. How do you build emotional control habits before conflict arises? You build emotional control habits through daily practice, not crisis management. Identify your personal triggers. Establish a physical reset routine. Rehearse your responses and debrief after difficult moments. Consistency over weeks creates the neural pathways that hold you steady when a real conflict arrives. Why is emotional control so hard to maintain during conflict? Your nervous system responds to interpersonal conflict the same way it responds to physical threat. Stress hormones narrow your thinking and accelerate your speech. Without pre-built habits, you're trying to self-regulate at the exact moment your biology is working hardest against you. How long does it take to build reliable emotional self-regulation skills? Most people notice real improvement in 4 to 6 weeks of consistent daily practice. The habits need to be practiced in low-stakes moments first, so they become automatic. Waiting until a conflict to try them for the first time means they will almost certainly fail under pressure. Can emotional control habits help with team conflict at work? Yes, when you regulate your own emotional state, you change the temperature of the room. Teams with emotionally grounded members de-escalate faster and recover more completely. Your self-regulation is not just personal protection. It actively shapes the dynamic between everyone in the conversation. What is the difference between suppressing emotions and controlling them? Suppression means pushing feelings down so they do not show. Emotional control means acknowledging what you feel, choosing your response, and staying present. Suppression often makes conflict worse when those feelings eventually surface. Genuine control allows you to engage clearly without being driven by the emotion. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblackthorne.com to get your copy.